Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of a beast in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fight.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike, what are you doing and how are you drinking? I messed that up, but you know what? Keep it, because I love the way it happened.
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay today. I'm wearing my flannel, and I'm drinking my Hefeweizen. I'm ready to go chop some wood and kill a wolf and all sorts of other
dance things. Around in women's clothes.
Yeah.
Everything a lumberjack does.
Yeah.
Josh, you're looking terrific today. You have your cool what t-shirt is that?
That's Night Shift Brewing.
Night Shift Brewing. And what beer are you drinking tonight? Are we matching?
No, I'm rocking a Super Typhoon from Treehouse.
Super Typhoon. Very tasty.
Very tasty.
Tell me, how are you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing just okay, and I'm drinking some Johnny Walker Blender's Batch scotch, and it's delicious. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. Why are you just okay today, LT?
I've been working on my iPod all day because it died last night, and
R.I.P.
it's taken up most
iPod.
Of my day.
Most people would just start listening to their
remember,
music.
Staying alive.
I have the technology. I have rebuilt it. Now I just need to put all my music back on it.
Yeah, it's called an iPhone. Just start using that, man.
Screw you, Tom. I made it 600 gigs. It'll hold everything.
Well, the task that you have undertaken is, in fact, Herculean. Speaking of Herculean, king of the segues, today we're going to be talking about Hercules, not just the mythic god, but also the very, very popular-ish Marvel figure. And the less popular DC figure, we can go into that later too.
No.
We're going to skip over the DC section of Hercules. Okay. Gets a little rapey. Tommy, why don't you give us a little backstory about Hercules, the Prince of Power, and his time in Marvel Comics?
Well, Hercules was adapted from mythology by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby back in November 1964 as a minion of Immortus. Through his appearance, he was revealed in Avengers Forever 1 through 12 in 1998 as being an imposter. The character's formal appearance in Marvel Universe became... First formal appearance in Marvel Universe became Journey into Mystery, Annual Number 1 in 1965, which established Hercules as being a rival of the thunder god Thor. At least that's what Wikipedia tells me as I read it. Hercules has always been a Marvel character that I have cared very little about. I have been so apathetic about Hercules, even though he's been in tons of books that I've read. The Avengers, the West Coast Avengers... And in preparing for this podcast, I decided to read a bunch of The Champions because my friend Tom says, oh, I love The Champions from back in the day. The Champions were great. And so I read a bunch of The Champions, because they were written by some writers that I really like, Chris Claremont, Tony Isabella, Bill Mantlo, and they were all packaged together in a Marvel Masterworks. On Comixology, so I read a bunch of them, and I still really am apathetic about Hercules.
At least you don't hate
Hercules,
him.
Hercules, I mean, sure, he's a powerhouse, and he brings power, but that's it. He really doesn't have a lot that distinguishes him from any other character. I mean, Thor not only brings power, but also, has his thundering powers, can fly, can do all sorts of things. Hercules can do nothing really but smash stuff and speak verily, Thy, and with a pompous position and be a little bit, you know, arrogant. And, you know, in the early days of the Avengers, he was just kind of there to start fights with other Avengers when they were in the off time and to be a heavy hitter in terms of power. But he really, really just doesn't really do anything interesting for me.
But he has such a can-do attitude. He's such an optimist.
Verily.
Verily. Yeah.
Once you do the seven tasks of Hercules, you get that out of the way, everything else is a goddamn cakewalk.
Seriously. And the 13th was finding the perfect segue.
Yeah.
So the problem that you're experiencing, LT, is you have not read the correct Hercules. You are remembering him from the Avengers. You got led astray by Tom's love of the Champions of LA.
Champions. Well, and you should have done. I also read a ton of West Coast Avengers. Yeah, and he was always kind of in the background of those.
You got to stay away from the Avengers because Hercules is best when it's just Hercules and Amadeus Cho. The Incredible Hulk's second series ended with World War Hulk. And at issue 113, it switched from being the Incredible Hulk to the Incredible Hercules. And it was written by friend of the show, Fred Van Lente, and Greg Pak. And it is an amazing duo with the brains of Amadeus Cho and the brawn of Hercules. It is one of the funnest comics I have ever read. I recommend the whole series, but there are a few issues where Hercules has to pose as Thor. And he accidentally ends up marrying this chick because he fucks her and doesn't realize that he's getting married. And then Thor and the Warriors Three have to go rescue him. But Thor doesn't want to start a war of the realms, so he has to pretend to be Hercules. And it is just it's just fun, chaotic goodness.
All right. Hold on. Who do we cast for this movie?
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, all right, for Hercules.
All right. So I'm going to say, oh, that's a good one. You want somebody big who can play Goofy. And now first name.
The guy from My Name is Earl. The kind of dumb guy. He fell into a gym and he's a monster now.
Oh, he is brother?
He is a monster among men. He is ready for WrestleMania 3. And he can play Goofy.
Okay.
He is Goofy.
We'll get him in there as Hercules. I'll post a picture if I can figure out his damn name.
That's what IMDb is for.
Yeah.
Cast as Hercules, who is a giant pretty boy who can be Goofy.
John Cena?
I think see him more as Thor.
Let's just go with The Rock because he plays everything.
If we wanted to make $1 billion, of course we're going to cast The Rock and John Cena to play off of each other.
Why wouldn't we want to make a...
Hasn't he already played Hercules in something? Who knows? Probably. I don't know.
He was Conan for a while.
No. He was the Scorpion King. That was Jason Momoa.
Oh, you're right. He was. And that was terrific.
It wasn't terrific. Neither of those things were terrific.
Jason Momoa would make an excellent Momoa.
Yeah. I don't know.
Can say barely.
So here's my casting. I'm going to go with Jack Black as Hercules and Patton Oswalt as Thor.
We're going to CGI I'm these sons of bitches?
Nope.
In on that movie.
Nope.
Nope. Fuck.
Look, it's just mythology, man. We are thousands of years old, and we may have gotten a little out of shape.
I kind of let that shit go.
But anyways, if you guys like Archer and Armstrong, Fred Van Lente did an amazing job on that, and he does an amazing job on The Incredible Hercules. And if you don't want a comedy, LT, you need to check out the 2015-2016 series Hercules Still Going Strong, where he is having to gather magical weapons, and he is trying to be clean and sober, which is not easy for Hercules because he's been an alcoholic for thousands of years. And he realizes all the damage that he's done to all of his friends and relationships because of his drinking. It's actually a very serious comic mixed in with it. So I'd recommend that.
All right, so the actor name that I was talking about is named Jason Souple. I've just put a picture up for you guys to look at. He is cranked, jacked. Look at that. Look at that monster among us. Sure. I know it's not a great podcast thing, but I will put a picture up. He looks terrific, and I can see him as either.
You should put that on Twitter, because if you want to see it, just go to @TheLongBoxGuys.
Yeah, just scroll down. You'll see it eventually. And, yeah, he looks terrific. And he's funny. God, he's funny. He's a funny guy.
Josh, you got any series you can recommend?
I mean, everything I've read from Hercules, Mike, you've pretty much given me. So if you're recommending it, I'm going with that. I know LT is disparaging poor Hercules for his lack of accoutrement, right? He's just a big, strong guy who smashes things.
He's got a base.
But I have to say, like I say about like Doctor Strange, the characters who have all of those powers, who have the get out of jail free card by having some power they can just do, I would rather see a character with a one dimensional power, just like I smash things hard, and they have to overcome things and do things and be more of a character than a characterization of their powers, right? So I like people with very limited power, very limited and defined power sets who get out of things in interesting ways. And I don't think they've always done that with Hercules, but they have a chance to do it with him.
Well, I hate to prove you wrong, but Amadeus Cho did use one of Hercules' accoutrements as the ghost in the machine one time when he took his golden mace. You guys remember that Hercules always had that golden mace with him?
Yeah.
That thing was made out of adamantium. It was forged by Hephaestus for Hercules as a replacement for a wooden club that he used to use. Amadeus Cho was able to use it as a capacitor capable of redirecting even the most unlikely energies thanks to the divine matter of the mace itself. So they kind of use that thing like a little bit like vibranium or something to just redirect energy. So that was their get out of jail free card when they were.
But not Hercules. That was somebody using super intelligence to solve a problem. And I get that it's the same thing as magic. Yeah. But that is the component of being a partner with him.
And that is his only superpower, is being really smart. We're not going to count his whole time as the Hulk.
As the Hulk.
We don't count that.
I gotcha.
And I've seen Hercules' mace used similar to Thor's hammer, in that he's used it to kind of bounce it off people, to get it to other people so that he can use it to smash things. But it's always kind of been like a poor imitation of Thor.
Let me ask you a question, LT, seeing you are the expert amongst us on Hercules. Did they ever in the Avengers get into him having any kind of post-traumatic stress from the beatdown he took at the Masters of Evils?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, granted, I haven't read all the Avengers, but in the ones that I was reading, this past week, like, the stuff I was reading, I was just like, back when I read comics, I was never impressed with Hercules, and the stuff in the Champions, still not impressed. Stuff in West Coast Avengers, still not impressed.
So that's the fault of the writers, because they had an opportunity to really explore something important with Hercules, and they just threw him into a coma, and then he quit, right?
Yeah. That was one of the most epic beatdowns in Comic-Con, actually. I mean, they really did lay the boots to him.
Yep. I know everyone's sort of avoiding either the Nemean lion or the Stymphalian birds in the room.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You need at least a minor in ancient history for that joke, but okay.
But Hercules, as we know it, right, for comic books is not just a Marvel character. And I know nobody wants to go talk about the DC character, and I'm perfectly willing to ignore that ever happened. Yeah. However, there's also like a bunch of independent, because it's just a mythological name. Pretty much anybody can use Hercules. Nobody can stop anybody from doing anything. There are a lot of independent comics out there, none of which I have in hand. But does anybody did anybody read any of the independent comics or anything of significance for Hercules that was not Marvel?
So if you like want to read a great Hercules story, I'm going to go with The Mage, the Hero Discovered, or no, Defined, excuse me. And that includes Hercules as one of Kevin Matchstick's avatars that he hangs out with.
Buck Wild, which was a takeoff on Luke Cage, was popular for a while, and that was in the same universe as Icon. And he fought a character that was a thinly veiled Hercules ripoff. And he was funny because they did all the silly Hercules stuff, and they just turned it up to 10.
I mean, the other thing about all of his tasks really was like he was either killing or capturing shit. Like, I really felt like he was like the zookeeper of ancient Rome, right? Like, they didn't really have him doing much else.
He redirected a river.
I was going to say, he was also the janitor.
Yeah. It was like slay, slay, capture, 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 clean, divert, slay, capture, capture. Yeah. I'm just saying, the guy was like, he was like the first zookeeper. That guy fucking could have done anything with a zoo.
Hey, you know how writers are, and this is writers in myth too. Once a writer gets a theme that they work, they just keep going over it. This is like the first sequels in Hollywood. Like, oh, what did we have him do last time? He captured a giant rock? Great. Right. How about a horse?
Yeah. Give him a lion. Give him a hydra. Give him the birds, the bull. Like, bull. He just kept going. Poor Cerberus.
Cerberus.
Cutest dog in the history of the mythology.
Cerberus?
I binged him. Three heads are better petting to one.
Yeah. They all go like this. Budge.
Sweetest dog ever.
So many ears to scratch. So many ears. Did Hercules ever have a pet? No super pet. I remember he hung out with Lockjaw for a while. Yeah, I'm not imagining that. Mike's giving me a nod on that one. I remember they were actually pretty good friends. Lockjaw likes big, goofy people. Hercules likes big, goofy dogs. They were a good match. I like Lockjaw. It's a good dog.
You like Lockjaw.
Yeah.
He should get his own comic.
He did for a while. The Lockjaw and the Avengers. Wasn't very good.
Not a dog.
Not a girl, not a dog. I want to see that team up now. Anyone have any others? I love the Champions. I think I've already gone over that in other episodes. But it was such a weird combination of superheroes and powers and sets. You know, you had the jubilant, over-the-top Hercules hanging out with Ghost Rider and Black Widow. It was insane and stupid, and I loved it because it was just, you know, the most nonsensical grouping of heroes I've ever seen in my life. Some of the villains were really terrible, especially the first few issues. They had the Hive and a couple others. It just didn't make much sense to me. But then they had when Valkyrie came, and we got some better writers in there. There were some fun issues, and I had some fun with it.
In reading the first Champions, it seemed like it was Avengers West Coast, only like version zero. Because it was like, you know, it was like on the West Coast. It was bankrolled by Angel. And it just seemed like it was their first attempt at trying to make, you know, a sort of Avengers team, but on the West Coast out of these ragtag group of heroes kind of thrown together, sort of like what they tried to do with West Coast Avengers years later.
I guess that's fair. I mean, everyone can't be in New York, guys. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, some people have to work out of L.A. Yeah. L.A.
We need a superhero team in Houston.
I mean, if you're going to be a superhero in L.A.
In L.A.
Right? I mean, you just got to deal with that.
Anyone have any last words on Hercules, the Prince of Power, the pugnacious one himself?
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Not Wonder Woman's favorite god.
Nope.
We can say that. Good thing he didn't have the mace.
I'm surprised we didn't talk about the God Squad, but it's better left unsaid.
Better left unsaid, indeed.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mike, what do you have at the front of the long box for us?
At the front of the long box today, I have something. I'm actually going to go a little back in time because, Tom, you have been ranting and raving about Doctor Strange. And so I finally get around to reading the Jason Aaron run on Doctor Strange. I wish I could tell you what volume it is, but fuck you, Marvel. Stop renumbering your series.
But, was it number one, Mike?
Yeah, well, it started with number one. It was 20 issues where Jason Aaron, it starts off with the Fall of Magic, where everything gets destroyed by the Imperium.
That's so good.
Yeah, and it continues. It's a really good series. I was not keen on the artwork, but it's fine. I do like the story itself, and I never have been a huge Doctor Strange fan, but even in this comic, I like all the other people better. Who? Maybe you could help me out, Tom, because I did not Google it. Who the fuck is the Orb?
The Orb. It's one of the henchmen.
Yeah, he's got a giant eye, right?
Yeah. And one of the henchmen lost his head, and now he's just the Orb. He used to be a headman.
What? Yeah, I still don't know what you're talking about.
Do you remember the headman?
No.
You have to, because one of them was a gorilla with a guy's head.
What?
Yes. The headmen were the super villain team. One of them was Ruby something, and she just had a giant orb for a head and a super killer body, like an insane body. And one of them was a gorilla with a man's head, and they all had the wrong heads. That was the card that got you into this supervillain team. Your head had to not match your body. One guy just had like an old man's head and like a young person's body. It was not a normal supervillain team. And they were called the Headsmen. And the Orb, it turned out, didn't need the super hot body at all and just kind of became the Orb later.
I love the fact that Doctor Strange, because most magic gets destroyed, everybody decides they want to kill Doctor Strange. And then because everybody wants to kill him, all these bad guys are fighting amongst themselves over who gets to kill the depowered Doctor Strange.
Right. So he's just kind of running between everyone's feet while everyone's trying to stomp him and kill each other for the right to kill Doctor Strange. Meanwhile, the best magic he has is like gum that puts you to sleep.
He stabs Dormammu with an enchanted dagger, and Dormammu's like, is that your plan? Right? That's so sad. I thought I was going to take joy in destroying you, but you're just pathetic now. I mean, it's a great series. Tom has been recommending it forever. I finally got around to reading it this week. Thank you, Tom. I really did enjoy the Doctor Strange. And again, don't know what volume.
Don't know what volume. That one was a good one. Toppy, what do you got in the old back of the long box?
I have Avengers and Champions World Collide. And this is where, in 2016, where the Avengers and the Champions get together to stop the High Evolutionary from having the Earth and Counter-Earth collide into each other, destroying them so that he can create something brand new from the two. And it was a pretty good series, and it featured Hercules in a sort of way Hercules is normally featured in the Avengers. In sort of a blasé sort of way. But Awesome Hulk was there, and that made it better.
All right. Doesn't sound like this is a highly recommended comic book, though.
It was a good comic book. It was good. I'm just, since we talked about Hercules, I just figured I'd mention that he was there.
The High Evolutionary is one of those supervillains that, like Josh says, kind of ticks me off, because whatever he needs, he has.
Yeah. He does. And he in this, he screws with Vision's daughter a lot and changes her a lot.
Because he can. Because he's a high evolutionary. He can do almost
anything. High evolutionary. He evolves her like he evolves everybody else.
So not one of your faves. That's okay.
It made me want to see where the story goes, but I haven't had a chance to track down the issues after it.
All right. That's a little off track, but all right. Being off track is kind of a tangent. Tangents is what Josh is best at. Josh, you have a tangent for us?
Yeah, I'm going to run over one of your segments a little bit here because you may not listen to it on this day. But today, while we're recording, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So in one of his more less read but powerful essays, if you haven't read Letters from Birmingham Prison, go ahead, because not only is it wrong to use immoral means to achieve moral ends, but also to use moral means to preserve immoral ends. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, if you have the time, and even if you don't, go out and read his letter from Birmingham Prison. It is a very powerful essay. It's been very widely publicized, probably from the 60s and the 90s, and it's sort of been set aside in sort of the writings of our time. It is very worth the read. It is just a very powerful statement on civil rights and how people are treated as they go about their lives in resisting the wrongs of society. So that's my somewhat tangential, but I'll also just say Jason Bateman, love that guy in The Outsider. I mean, is there anything Jason Bateman can't do?
He can't have a baby.
No, he can. He can do anything. It's Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman has a baby. Outsider.
It's based on a Stephen King novel. It's fucking awesome. It's only 3 episodes in. I'm hooked. And Jason Bateman. He's freaking great in everything. Yeah. Tell me something Jason Bateman wasn't great in. Anyone? Favorite Jason Bateman movie? Go.
Teen Wolf 2.
Fair enough. You win. Go no further, Mike.
We're done. Done.
We are done. Done for day.
Actually, I really liked Game Night.
Oh, that too. That was pretty funny, actually. It was a lot funnier than I expected it to be. Yeah. I did not really expect anything from the movie. And so being a lot funnier than I expected was not hard, but still a good movie.
Did you guys like Ozark?
I love Ozark.
Yeah.
That is a great series.
My wife loves Ozark. I watch it. I'm not a big drama guy, but that one, some of the characters really dragged me in. I love the hillbilly guy.
To answer your first question, I don't think Jason Bateman can juggle fire while worshiping Satan.
Shut up.
While worshiping Satan?
Yes, Jason Bateman.
Is he
can do anything.
A Christian?
Granted, he is the same character in every role he plays, but it's the best character in everything he plays in.
Yeah. I don't know. Teen Wolf was a variation.
Two.
He was a wolf. A little wolfy.
The original.
I would like to see him be a serial killer.
Ooh, yeah. Oh,
he would totally be Jason Bateman as a serial killer. He'd be just like every other character, except killing people serially.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I just have to get this off my chest.
I don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And why I'm personally involved.
Yeah, but I feel attacked.
I feel attacked. And I've only killed 11 people.
That's not even a dozen.
Not even
right?
a dozen.
And they're calling me the Baker's Dozen Killer? That doesn't even make sense. They're blowing this out of proportion.
There should be like 2 more people dead. Yeah. And there aren't.
I mean, well, there are, but they haven't found them, so it doesn't even count. So I don't know where they're going.
I understand.
It's your move.
It's your move.
There's a throwback for you guys. You guys love that. Just some blank stares over there. Blank stares. Good.
I think Mike froze up again.
No, I'm just wondering if his one appearance on Mr. Belvedere would count as a bad performance.
No.
Well, you can't act. Anything he did on Mr. Belvedere must have been like gold.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're a screwed up family, but we have a fancy butler. What's going to happen next? I don't know, wacky hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
That was a dumb premise. Yeah, just saying.
Pretty much every time.
All right, so I also want to give my little segment here is usually 3 to 18. 3 to 18, give me your 18 when it comes to now. Let's go back to our childhood. back in time when we had cable TV. Saturday afternoon, we don't know what the fuck is on. You don't. Nobody knew what the fuck was on, really.
Sure.
Right? You're switching through the channel, which is the stupid sci-fi that would come on randomly that you always stopped dead and watched. For me, to give you an example. All right, Tommy?
I beg to differ. On Saturday afternoon, I knew exactly what was on, and it was Creature Double Feature.
Yeah, on Channel 56.
Yeah.
Channel 56 is different.
Yeah.
That's regional. But I'm talking about those syndicated shows that were just starting to pop up. And I'm talking about the shows like Hercules, like Jack of All Trades. You had no idea when those things were coming on.
Yeah, they weren't around when we were kids.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still a kid. Yeah, I still watch. It was later. Which was the one that always made you stop dead, though? For me, it was Xena. If I was just channel turning and I saw a Xena episode, I always stopped dead.
From when we were kids in the 2000s? Late
90s? In the 2000s, then. We weren't exactly kids. Fine. We were younger. I felt like a kid.
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're going.
All right, let's go.
Do you want to go back to childhood, or do you want to go to which syndicated show do we stop on? Because it's fucking Cleopatra 2020.
That's the thing I'm talking about. There was this weird time in the 2000s. All right, you're right. We weren't kids. Where they had a lot of these weird syndicated shows that were just coming up kind of randomly, like Cleopatra. Thank you very much.
Cleopatra 2020.
Cleopatra 2020, Jack of All Trades, which I fucking love. The Adventures of Cisco Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, that was on Fox. It was in syndicated.
Was it?
Yeah, don't cross the streams, buddy.
Yeah.
And the weird X-Men one that was out for a hot minute.
Oh, it was a mutant thing.
Mutant X?
It wasn't X-Men, but
Mutant X.
There was also Earth Final Conflict.
The X-Men, you motherfucker.
Oh, that was the X-Men. They just couldn't call it the X-Men.
They couldn't call it the X-Men. They had to call it Mutant X. Were there any of those that just always were looking for them, but you could never find them? It's okay if I'm wrong on this, but for me,
I just think of the late 90s to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of TV. Like, that was like, I was out doing shit. I was either, drunk or playing
D&D. I was out painting lines.
Yeah.
I was either working construction, I was in college, I was either playing D&D or I was drinking. And then we were living in San Francisco, and, dude, the TV we had, it worked, one out of every 18 minutes? Did we even watch that fucking thing?
I love that TV.
I know you did.
All right. So, Tom, I know you and I used to watch Hercules all the time.
Oh, yeah. Legendary
when
Jerry,
it came
baby.
Up.
Yeah.
Is that all you have to say? You just watched it? Thanks for that input.
That's
the only one that I can remember.
All right. Mike, you mentioned Cleopatra 2020. What the fuck was that about?
I don't know, but it wasn't an 18.
Yeah, it was 20. Cleopatra 2025. I just looked it up.
But I had no idea what it was about. It was mostly about these chicks in a vertical shaft.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. It was like this weird vertical shaft, and they would do adventures down the vertical shaft.
Yeah. Victoria Pratt. Gina Torres.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gina Torres can definitely.
And they were super scantily clad. It was the girl from Firefly.
On television.
Yeah.
You've just accurately described it.
What was it about?
An exotic dancer is cryogenically frozen in the year 2001 and is accidentally thawed out in 2525 by two female warriors who are fighting against evil robots which have taken over the world.
Holy
boom.
Shit, how have I never seen this?
It was insane.
I think it's on Prime.
It is.
Yeah. Is it?
You can watch it on Amazon Prime.
You can watch it on Prime.
Right now.
It's an insane show. You should watch a couple episodes because it makes no sense. It makes about as much sense. What was the weird show where the Playboy?
What was the weird show? As if it differentiates what we were just talking about.
This one is just as weird. It's like the chick from all the Playboy magazines was a spy for a while.
VIP.
Yes. And then Thunder in Paradise. That's another one from that time period where Hulk Hogan had a speedboat. And that was the plot. And he didn't like fight bad guys a lot. The speedboat fought bad guys. He'd cut a couple lines, do a funny bit, and then it would all be a speedboat chase for 20 minutes. It was the easiest gig he ever had in his life.
Yeah.
Thunder in Paris. Yeah.
VIP, a team of five professional bodyguards.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. And
we should mention.
Yeah. That's all you really need to know.
My point is that I do have one. That was a weird time in TV when these syndicated shows that were, you know, aimed at us were just missing us because we didn't know what the fuck they were on or what channel they were on. And not everybody had the internet at this point. Most of you guys had the internet, but I was poor. Some of those shows are worth going back to, like Cleopatra 2026. Josh, give us a report next week and let us know what you think.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that moves us over to plugs. Anyone got anything good to plug?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at KirbyCracklemusic.com. And, of course, our fellow podcasters over at WhosNextGaming.com, Seth and the Boys, where you can get all your gaming, comic book, movie/sex robot talk.
And food. And Kirby Crackle going on tour very soon. Also, just did a couple good big music festivals. So wherever you are, take a look around. Kirby Crackle might be coming to a town near you. Excuse me.
I'd like to plug the podcast Tell the Band to Go Home, a Canadian podcast from Winnipeg, and they'll tell you what it's like to be a pegger.
All righty. I'd like to plug the movie Green Room, in which we get to see Jean-Luc Picard be a mountain hick bad guy. It's a crazy little thing that I think LT would really like, about an independent band that gets booked in this backwoods venue, and it becomes a fight to stay alive when they find out they've accidentally played a white supremacist room.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart is very menacing in this. It's kind of fun to see him menacing.
I keep on seeing previews for Picard, and it almost makes me want to get a subscription to CBS.
Get Hulu Plus. It's better.
Or I just don't watch it until I come up and visit you.
If we just, yeah.
Good point. or we can hand you one of our
CBS
iPads.
CBS Plus is not on Hulu, so we can't get Picard.
Oh, you can?
No.
Well, I got both.
I'd like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Timmy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, socks, you name it, they got it.
Well, speaking of GeekOrthodox.com, you can go over to their website right now and get 20% off. Just let it happen. Let it happen.
Let go. Whatever that was.
My cat 50% off.
Is really pissed because it eats at 7 o'clock and it's 5:07 and he is letting me know I want to fucking eat.
You go over to the website. They're having a special on their stained glass and stained glass clings right now. I believe it's 20% off, and you can find that on their Twitter feed.
And that will not be helpful at all because it was a one-day only sale.
but you missed it, cocksuckers.
So thanks for pushing that sale that happened a week ago.
Okay, right, guys. I just get before we. I'm already on Prime searching for Cleopatra 2025.
It's 25/25.
25/25. Oh, and while I was doing that, something came up called Cleopatra Jones and the Casino of Gold from 1975.
Yep, I seen Anybody? That one. Yep.
Yeah, I'm earmarking that bitch.
That's another one from that time was The Relic Hunter, which was Wayne's girlfriend there, her own TV show, The Relic Hunter. She was Indiana Jones except hot. Yeah. Relic Hunter.
Okay. Yeah, a better search function on Prime. How about that, Prime? I know you're not listening, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I like to plug Pensacon. Pensacon's coming up. We're already getting excited about it. We just got approved for 5 panels. We're going to have some fun people on those panels with us, including Tony Isabella, a 13-year-old kid that we met last time. And hopefully we can talk Diane into jumping onto one or two of these.
Wait, did the religion panel get accepted?
No, we haven't heard back from Mark if he's going or if it fit into his schedule or whatever.
I reminded him, and he acknowledged the reminder.
Okay. There are so – I mean, he says he wants to do it, and I totally believe him, but he's already got a bunch of stuff booked.
Yeah, it's kind of close.
It's kind of close. That is coming up fast. But there's going to be some really fun people there for your Whovians. We got a bunch of Doctor Who people coming up. Weird Al Yankovic's going to be down there. Tom Cook, an illustrator who did Thunder the Barbarian, one of our perennial favorites. I bought two of those on Prime, by the way, including Race of the Wizards. The Thunder Barbarians do not hold up and also hold up at the same time in a weird way.
Did you win that eBay auction that you told me not to bid on?
It ends tonight, you son of a bitch. So let's not go nuts. Fingers crossed it ends tonight, you stupid bastard. Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I think that's going to just about do it for the long box, guys.
Yeah.
Josh, Pensacola, Florida. Got to be your sector.
Always my sector.
What's your favorite bar in Pensacola? I know what mine is.
I think it's called, is it City Tap? The new brewery right across, right around the corner from where we're staying. Those that guys make some good beer.
My favorite bar is the stupid bar in the hotel where they make the snake bite thing.
I don't want to get fatoned at that bar again, though.
You don't want to get fatoned. I was telling your dad about that story, and he's like, who's Joey Fatone? Like, shut up, old man. And I slapped him.
No, that's the way to answer that question.
Yeah. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. Any last words for us?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's definitely the podcast you deserve.
And Mike, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for Cleopatra 2525.
Damn straight it is. And don't forget what I always say. Don't just what you hate. Just promote what you love. Like Cleopatra 2525. And we'll see you next time on The Long Box, guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. It's a crazy premise. What the hell was up with the shaft? Because they would tie their ankles to these bungee cords, and like, I think he's on level 757, and they would jump down this vertical shaft to try to kill this robot guy, and then they would bungee back up.
Yeah.
It was all about the shaft. I think they only had like two rooms.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was a very limited set.
Horribly low budget.
Oh, yeah.
They spent all their money on tight-fitting clothing.
And not much of it.
Yeah.